Are you a wrecking ball?
Hey, what's up?
Hello, welcome to the Pantry Podcast. We're serving up Jesus, not junk food. And this is week 4 of our Blessing and Ruin little mini series. And this week we are talking about, are you multiplying peace or provocation? Ooh. Right? Are you a wrecking ball? Are you just messing up everything because you're pushing all the buttons? Or are you the person that everyone wants to come to because you just offer that calm and steady peace?
Oh, man. That's a dream.
Right?
Like, I want to get to that point. Like, that's like that deep desire that people have, or that I have. I'm sorry. Right. That's my deepest desire, y'all, is to be able to just be, like, flatline.
Yeah.
Because this, I want to have that nice wavelength. Right. I mean, we're going to have a little, you know, so it's just a nice, I don't want the heartbeat, like, no, I'm good. It's like, just, and you know what's cool about that is I've learned how to control my blood pressure and my pulse. And she didn't believe this.
Well,
not that she don't believe it, that's bad. But I sat there in the hospital bed, and I'm telling her this in one of the times when I had to go, and I'm like, I can control it. She's like, huh? And so I started doing it and bringing my pulse rate down. So I was at the arrhythmia, right? So I'm taking it from like this down to like this. Yeah. But that's how I want to walk life.
Right, right. And before we go any further, y'all, you can control how far this podcast goes. So remember to like and subscribe and to share and to comment to get us out to more people with the love of Jesus. But yes.
I forgot about that part because this thing is like, this one hits because this whole series hits.
Isn't that great?
Conviction,
I love this. I'm so excited because see, this, me and Shay are both guilty of all of these. And so are you probably. Right. I don't know you. Maybe I do. Maybe you're in the comments enough that I know you. Hi. But I think that this is one of those things where I felt super convicted in my own house, and that's why we put this together. That's why I felt led to do this for the women. And I realized almost instantly, this ain't just for women. I'm gonna use a lot of Proverbs 31 so the women feel real seen. But this is for everybody. And so I'm really excited that me and Shay are both convicted. And that's what... Get to the place where you're excited when you feel convicted because, you know, life gets better when you lean into the conviction and actually want to do something about it and actually go to God about it and submit to God in that area and really pray and ask friends to pray and confess it and shine light on and make all the roaches run away. Like, that is what makes the dial move. And life change, right? So why does this matter? Because you do not want to be the person that people avoid like the plague. I don't have the verse in here, but I said it to the women, like, the nagging wife, it says something like, the man will live on the roof because it's better than living with a nagging wife. And you can get all triggered if you're a wife and you're like, nah, and like, what about him? Okay, yeah, like, it's annoying. Like, people would rather live as a hermit than be with a nag, right? And provoking, pushing the buttons, bothering, just messing with someone who's still in at peace just because you want them to not be still in at peace, that's antagonistic. That's straight evil from the pits of hell. We don't need it. We don't want it. We want peace. That's why it matters, right? Do you want a life that is exciting but peaceful rather than just chaos and wrong? Like, that's what this episode's about.
Spring babies.
This whole spring baby thing is so borderline to the Zodiac that I can't even. I cannot even. I'm over here. Whenever, wherever.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
No, we joke about this spring baby thing. Like, when we were to have another baby, when would it be? But anyways, hey, look, you know what? In the comments, put what season you think we should have another kid. All right. But as we sit here, we're looking at like these terms, and one of the biggest places in the Bible where I really see this and where I have to be very careful because as my child annoys me, I like to poke, but I am. And you know what? I like to do in fun sometimes, but y'all also gonna understand a 4-year-old don't understand some of the jokes that an adult understands. Mm-hmm. So they don't quite get it. Mm-hmm. So I've really had to work in this, in provoking. But then I was like, mm-hmm. wait, this carries over into a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I'm getting up. Mm-hmm.
Amen. But amen, amen.
And where does that come from? Of course, times Colossians 10. 3, right? It says, children, obey your parents, everything. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged.
That is such that a tough is time.
Huge. And
it's not just that they get
right.
bitter. They get discouraged, especially if they're trying to honor their parents and you're driving them crazy for fun.
That little girl wants to please. Mm-hmm. Like, kids want to please. They don't understand the limits to this. And mm-hmm. it's like, I just want to please.
They want to keep the peace. Figure.
Even though sometimes they're like at the heart of the,
all the
less
problem.
Peace.
Right.
Right. Right. But as I was looking at this, so it's kind of cool because provoke in the Greek, right, is to irritate or arouse feelings such as anger, hurt, shame, and fear to the point of exasperation. Did I say that wrong?
Exasperation.
Exasperation. Yeah, you did good. Yeah, exasperation, mm-hmm. right? Other translations render the phrase as do not exasperate, do not aggravate, do not drive to resentment, do not nag. Yeah, I see.
For all the mamas saying, clean your room! Did you clean your room?
Do not embitter. And then if you look at it from the law perspective, provoking words or conduct leading to killing in hot passion without deliberation.
Like,
like
because
for
think about the word. Think about how the anger goes and you're committing murder in your heart. And then think about what kind of feelings you're sowing into the heart of the people in your life. And now they're going to say something bad about you because you're driving them crazy. You cause them to stumble. Yeah, it's their job to not be stumbled. But still, when you're dealing with a group of people, no one mature there, then you can't expect nobody to be ready to not stumble because of you. And then bam, you're the reason they say.
I don't know how many times I've heard in like court TV and stuff like that. It's like, they pushed me and pushed me and pushed me. Or, you know, and it's like, and I snapped.
Uh-huh.
And there's other ones out there that are legit crazies.
Right.
But you see this a lot. And you see this, the direction that it carries.
Yeah.
So this, but here's where I started to expound on this thought, right? Because I think that I should also not provoke you. I shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't provoke my guys at work. I shouldn't provoke the people at church. The children are the one that's written in the verse. But who are we raising? Mm-hmm. When I was really digging into this, I'm like, you know, the Bible tells us to raise up our children in the Lord. Mm. If I'm raising my child up in the Lord, but provoking her at the same time, she is going to, unless the Lord does a huge work and it takes a lot of Holy Spirit help there, right? We know all about baggage, y'all. Come on. But if I'm raising her and I'm teaching her not to provoke, don't provoke your friend, just like I'm not provoking her. When she grows older, she doesn't provoke her child. And it's this nice, beautiful, endless movement of stop provoking people.
Right. Right.
You know, so it encourages us and builds us and pushes us forward and then builds the next generation to speak in ways that don't drive people into those things that we had just talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me think of, it's tangential to a pantry, right? But when you look outside, when you're like gardening, or I actually notice it best in a fish tank, in our saltwater tank. If you want to have this healthy saltwater tank and you want all of the corals in there to be happy and healthy, and you make sure to like feed them right, give them the right lighting, make sure none of the fish in there eat them for a living, right? You do all these things, and then like you go in and you poke it, maybe on accident, that thing is not happy. Like, we have some that like we have accidentally touched while having to move something around, and it shrivels up. And it like does this weird like oozing thing. Like, I don't know if it's pooping or throwing up, but it did not like that we touched it. And it won't come back out for days. So it's losing out on its absorption of light. It's not getting food because we provoked it. Maybe on accident that time. But now you know that that causes problems. And you know if you keep touching that thing, it's going to die. We've had one that, because we were doing a lot of movement in the tank, it was already on last legs. We had to, and Shay's got big hands, but he knows what he's doing. And he accidentally touched it like 2 times in like a week. That thing died. It disappeared. It's gone. Okay. Now you go outside into the garden. A seedling, think the immature in among us, the children, the younger Christians, people who don't have Christ at all. those little seedlings, when they come up, almost anything can kill it, right? Almost anything. And as it gets more and more mature, it takes more to kill it. Different things of different calibers have to come along to abuse it enough for it to die. But even the biggest, strongest thing, because it's not Jesus Christ, can be taken down with 1,000 little paper cuts, right? If you drill enough holes in a tree, it'll get sick and die, even if it is 100 years old.
Right.
And so I think it's important for us to not put the burden again on the maturity level of those around us, but instead say, okay, if they're supposed to be mature enough to handle provocation, why am I not also turning around and saying I should be mature enough not to provoke?
Right.
Right? If it's kind of a both situation. And I think that that's a way to look at it. You don't just say, I'm going to bake a cake, and then every 5 minutes you open the oven and punch it. It's not going to be a cake at the end, okay? What'd you expect?
The only thing I can think of the whole time you talk about seeds is the little squirrels that are looking for the nuts.
They are digging up all my peas. I'm going to sprout the peas inside and then transplant them because I am done. They have dug them all up.
But they're
provoking,
harmless.
Provoking. Provoking me.
They're not really provoking.
They're see, provoking
gotta
me.
I know what the provoking is. They're not intentionally doing it. Ah.
They know.
No, they don't know. They don't know. They're poor little squirrels.
I know.
The poor little squirrels. Actually, I feel kind of bad for squirrels. Because they put nuts in the ground.
And then they don't know
where
they are.
And they don't remember where they're at.
I'm like, what'd you do in the Garden of Eden to have that curse?
So my life in the car keys.
Right.
So my life in my wallet.
Right.
It's like I put it, I'm like, but anyways, no. So what you're really saying is that a gentle tongue is a tree of life.
Yes.
Right. And you're also saying that perverseness, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can break people's spirits.
Yes.
And I think when we really start to unpack the seriousness of this, I really don't believe that there are people. No, let me rephrase. Okay, for those that really like to provoke and really doesn't bother you later, and you just like, oh, this is my life. Okay, I'm going to talk to the other 90% right now that when they provoke or when they get into the situation, they have this remorse later and all this stuff. We know it hurts. I don't understand why. No, I do understand why. I understand that there's an enemy out there, and I understand there's a world out there, and our flesh is out there, and we just react, and we do these things, and why do I mess with my daughter? Well, you know, like, in some ways, I've walked myself earlier. I'm going to make her tougher, so when she goes out there and faces the world, she can handle the world. Wow, is that thinking just off? Because if she has a Holy Spirit type of mentality where she feels built up and edified by her father, by the Holy Spirit, right? Watch, even at home, I know she's going to have those struggles where she sits there and she has this identity and people are throwing stuff at her.
Mm-hmm.
But watch, I guarantee it, she is going to be able to turn it on. So when I love on her, instead of provoking, we tease and we play around. She does too.
Mm-hmm.
She does too. And
yeah.
and those are times when we understand.
But you also
it,
have
right.
boundaries. Like you haven't been like straight up provoking her in a very long time, right? And I don't think she's ever experienced it to the level that people might imagine. Like it's just for her because she's so little, like the threshold's lower. But
I've definitely done things where it's like, oh, Didi gone. And she's like, and she gets angry. And Dee Dee ain't gone. I'm messing with her. Right. I shouldn't have, you know? So I don't anymore.
Right. Because I think the other thing is sometimes we provoke people and then get mad at how they respond. But but without realizing that if Dee Dee I hadn't blanket, done this way. Unnecessary yeah. thing, they wouldn't have ever gone there.
Right.
And so now they're experiencing pretty much I'm the reason for their punishment. And I made sure they got one because they failed the test I gave them.
So,
and I don't think that that's always what God has in store. Like, he can allow testing to occur, but I'm not God and I don't need to be the master of tests because I don't have, like, I have the Holy Spirit, but I don't have infinite wisdom on when the perfect timing for a test is. I think my job is to instill a trust and a peace and, like, the fruits of the Spirit. And when something that is outside of our control comes in that causes them to stumble, help them figure out how to do it different next time, as opposed to this is a very intense example to paint the picture very clearly. Like, you could say, oh, there's porn out there. Let me tempt my kid with porn so they learn not to use it because it's bad. Or a kid shows them porn and you're waiting there and you've shown them that they can trust you enough that they come to you and you walk through and figure it out together from there, right? You know, or you've already raised them in such a way that they know to turn away from that kind of stuff anyway. Versus like, oh, it's out there. I'm gonna do it first to make sure. And it's like, no, like you don't sin to train your kid how to withstand sin. Right. Sin gonna happen. Right. You don't need to sin to train help them practice, right?
Train them up in the armor.
Right.
I'm just teasing. Ah, see, we've been saying provoking this whole time.
Uh-huh, and teasing is...
But teasing is provoking. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at... I'm not going to give you all the definition. Yeah. Go out
you
there. Pull up the dictionary.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, sometimes dictionaries are cool because it's like, there's got to be something good in teasing. Let me just go look it up in the dictionary. Then you look up in the dictionary like... Oh,
mm-hmm. I mean, every once in a while, I'll be like, "You so silly."
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like, you know, but, like, but I mean,
there's
don't
messing,
keep
and there's
going.
Different kinds of levels of messing and like that, and that's what I was doing. I like what you said.
Yeah,
I wasn't out there just flat beating my child up, right?
Yeah, you weren't like jumping
her
in.
I'm like messing with her, like I'm messing with her, but it's at a level. And as she has gotten older, though, now she just looks at me and she's like, it was kind of funny in stages because I still mess with her because, I mean, I'm just me. Mm-hmm. And it was funny in the beginning, and that weakened my messing. You know, in other words, I came less. And she was just straight out cry. And then it went through that stage and she got older. She's like, you could see it in her face. She goes, you're just messing, right, Baba? And now she's like, Baba, stop. Right.
I mean, there's some that just comes, but I think we can also, especially if you have siblings in the house, they're going to do it to each other. You don't have to be there. She's an only child. So cool, you were her older brother for a while. We can move on. She passed that, right? But I think deep down, just ask the Lord. If you're like convinced you never do this, then just ask the Lord that if you are, that he'll convict you. And if you aren't, then that's fine. It's not this perfect clear-cut thing, but you know, as we wrap, I think the action steps,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
A very practical one that you can do is if you sit there and in Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And then in Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord, right? You want to exude peace because it's so different to what the world offers. They'll notice the Lord and ask questions. But you know, how do you offer peace instead? We've been talking a lot about what the provoking looks like. How do you offer peace instead, right? If you start trusting in the Lord, the peace just comes. That's kind of what he has promised. And so if you make a list of things you feel like rooms in the house you don't want Jesus in, areas where you always are worried no matter what you do, and then you just put that in your Bible and say, Lord, I'm giving this over to you, and I'll give it over to you every day, the peace is going to start to come, and it's going to override a lot of the desire to provoke and the accidental provocation that happens. So rather than always trying to pull back the sin, let the light overcome the darkness. So bring in a lot of the light, let it overcome, and you won't have to worry about the opposite.
And I'm still going to mess with y'all. But in a fun, more fun way that's more
exactly
clear.
Yes, right, yes, right, very right, clear, right. Very apparent. Not picking at anyone's flaws or trying to prepare them for a gauntlet. Right?
There, look, pursue peace, y'all.
Exactly.
Pursue peace. That's what God wants.
Yes.
It's not the peace that surpasses and comes after you with all sorts of provoking.
Right.
It's the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yes.
And, you know, we're going to clean things up, and it's okay to clean things up, but let's stop provoking. Let's stop teasing in the sense that we want to hurt people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Remember, you can support us at patreon.com/thepantrypodcast, as well as go to thepantrypodcast.com for all of our past episodes. So until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you're fed a good meal, remember to follow the show on your favorite platform. The Pantry Podcast is also honored to be featured on Spark Radio and is part of Spark Network on KHCB's Uplifted Stream.